The views, information, or opinions expressed during Angel Answers with Amy Toys series are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily are the opinions of those of the host, BBS Radio, and its affiliates and its producers. The show, its host, BBS Radio, and affiliates and its producers are not responsible and does not verify the accuracy of any of the information contained in the series. The primary purpose of this series is to educate and inform. This series does not constitute medical, legal, or other professional advice or services. The series is available for private, non-commercial use only. Any portion of this series may not be copied, reproduced, or edited without written consent by the host or its producer. And welcome to Angel Answers with Amy Toy. I have a very special guest I'm bringing on in just a moment, but before we do so, just a few announcements. If anyone needs a psychic reading or healing, you can reach me at amytoy.com, angelicamy35@gmail.com, and also you can find me on Facebook, Twitter, and minds.com. And this very special guest I'm having on tonight, she is a great lady. I've had the privilege of being on her show not once but twice already. Her name is Cinnamon Moon, and Cinnamon Moon has walked a shamanic path of service as a spiritual coach and reader for over 50 years. She is a non-denominational minister, the author of A Medicine Woman Speaks, and also the founder of Spirit Lodge, an online study center located at www.spiritlodge.online, and the host of Cinnamon Moon at Night, which airs Monday nights at 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio. Cinnamon's passion is assisting others to know their authenticity of their inner spirit, along with discovering their own gifts and abilities. She believes she's in a non-judgmental approach in helping her clients to discover their spiritual path and foundations that resonate for them. In this way, she assists their discovery of a deeply intimate relationship with the elemental forces, guidance, creator, and Mother Earth, and much more. Welcome, Cinnamon Moon. How are you tonight?
I'm great. How are you doing, Amy?
I'm hanging in there, you know, by the chandelier. No, I'm just kidding. Sometimes. Thank you for being on the show, Cinnamon. You sound like you have a very extensive background, 50 years. That's quite a journey, wouldn't you agree?
Oh, yeah, it's probably even longer. Well, that's my professional journey, I guess. I've been at this for a long time, but, yeah. It's like...
So you've been hit... Yes, and I've had the honor of being on your show, which is an awesome show. You've had that show for how long now, Cinnamon?
Oh, I think we're going into our 10th year.
Wow, that's great. That's awesome. So I'm going to ask you a few questions, and then we're going to talk about things, you know, whatever comes up. Spirit's like, I'm just winging it tonight, girl. I'm just winging it. We got a lot to talk about, though. The reason why I wanted to have you on the show is because I'm part Native American Indian. And I see you do a lot with the shamanic work, which I feel is excellent. Tell us about your journey. How did you start on your spiritual path, so to speak, this long, extensive path that you've been on?
Well, I began when I was 5 years old.
Wow.
My first encounter that I can remember was when I came down with whooping cough. And slipped into a coma.
Oh.
And I was having a vision in the coma, mm-hmm. and I was running down a red and white pinwheel, and I was on the white path going down into the center. Mm-hmm. And along the path, I met an old gentleman who reminded me of my grandfather, who had recently passed. His energy felt the same.
Mm-hmm.
And he tapped me on the shoulder, and he said, "You're not supposed to be here." And he goes, "Tag, you're it." And he starts running up the path on the bin wheel. And he was running slow, so I could almost catch him. And then when I'd almost get to him, he'd run a little further, and he'd kind of wait for me to catch him.
Mm-hmm.
And he me up to the top of the pinwheel, and I came out of the coma.
Huh.
And back then, This was 65 years ago, so back then doctors made house calls. Mm-hmm. And when I came to, I was asking for the little man. Where's the little man? And I was measuring a man that was maybe standing about 2 inches tall, right? And they all said, well, she's hallucinating. But I knew he was very real.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kept him to myself. I didn't talk about him anymore because nobody believed me.
Mm-hmm.
And then my he has stayed with me all my life, so I know he's real. And then my first totem animal came to me about that same time. She was a wolf, mm-hmm. and she came with a pack, and they came as shadow figures. And the pack would come in at night, and I could see their shadows go under the bed, and they would just lay there and sleep. They never did anything or threatened me. Wow. And she sat at the foot of the bed watching over me.
Mm-hmm.
But she scared me. I was afraid of her, and I was mm-hmm. afraid of the wolves underneath the bed. I mean, these are shadows, and why are they here?
Mm-hmm.
And then if I get up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, she'd go room to room with me. So I knew she was more than just a shadow cast on the wall. There was nothing. Shadows don't move from room to room. They stay in one place, you know. So.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
But that's how she let me get used to her, and she was like that for a year before she waited until my anxiety went away. But mm-hmm. I can remember waking my grandma up in the middle of the night and saying, will you stay awake, please, until I come back? She would. Mm-hmm. She never asked me why. But, mm-hmm. You know, I needed her to be awake, so
mm-hmm.
that's how she came about. And my guides back then, they were telling me to be a good little girl, and this is what you can do, and this is, you know, this is what you mm-hmm. need to do. And they gave me a message and told me that I would, I was to teach people that they're a spirit in a body, not a body with a spirit. There's a difference. And
uh-huh.
so when we see it differently like that, we start looking through the eyes of our spirit and life changes. And I thought, well, that's a pretty big order to give me at, you know, only five.
Mm-hmm.
And then another day I was out in the yard at that same age. I was building a house with blankets and sheets on the clothesline, you know, and making rooms, and the wind kept coming and blowing my hair in my face, and I got frustrated with it. Go over there. And it did. I pointed to a corner of the yard, went there, and it came back, and it blew in my face again. I sent it to another direction. It went that way, and it came back and did it again. I sent it somewhere else. I was getting really mad. I was ordering it all around the yard, you know, go here, go there. And it would and come back and go and come back, and I realized that it knew what I was saying, and it was playing with me. And so I learned to call the wind. I learned to send messages on it. I can, to this day, I can summon it, and I can send it off, and I can call it to me. And so that was my first initial experience with an elemental force. And then over the years, the other elements came into play and introduced themselves, and more totem animals came forward and more guides, and it was just mm-hmm. a process.
Wow.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I grew up in a family that was open-minded and allowed me to explore and question, and I'm fortunate with that. They didn't have all the answers. I had to go searching, but they didn't stop me mm-hmm. from being me or following my interest. My mother was into metaphysics, so
okay.
that helped.
Yes. Yeah, it does help. I mean, my mother, you know, I always tell people, she didn't encourage her or discourage it, but she understood it because my great-grandmother was very psychic. So.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it's interesting because I think we who have grown up, you know, with the gifts, you know, and you're more of like a shamanic. And what is a shamanic? What is a medicine woman to you? What does that mean to you?
Well, You know, it's a good question. It's an outgrowth, I would call it, from a path of learning and development over time, mm-hmm. and usually years of one's passage into knowledge and different skill sets, along with a deeper understanding of our own gifts and abilities. And that's termed medicine in Indigenous circles.
Okay.
And when I was first given the title, I really struggled assuming it initially, until a friend of mine who was a medicine man decided to talk to me about it, because he knew I was uncomfortable. And he pulled me aside one day and he said, "Look," he said, "you've got medicine, don't you?" And I said, "Yes, I did." And he says, "And you serve others with it, don't you?" And again, I replied, "Yes." And he smiled at me and he says, "You are a woman." I started laughing. I said, "Well, that's kind of obvious, yes." He nodded and his smile grew wider, and then he said, "Then you are a medicine woman." And we both laughed, because in that simplistic definition, I was finally able to embrace the title. And I really think it's more for others than for myself. I don't need it.
Mm-hmm.
I learned first from my guides and the elemental forces at a very early age, and came to teachers later in life, and came to books later in life. And because of that, I had my own style already. I just didn't have the terminology for what I was doing. I just did it. And so I think it's really about learning to use the gifts and abilities that we possess as a means of service to our community, and wherever we might find ourselves or wherever that community might be.
Mm-hmm.
And whether we're male or female, we become a medicine man or a medicine woman by employing those skill sets and our accumulated knowledge or wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to specialize in areas where we're strongest, because mm-hmm. no one knows it all. You can't know it all. And
right.
so we do it through the understanding that the more we come to know, the more we are going to see how much we don't know, how much is out there. So
mm-hmm.
we need to grow into greater knowledge. And it means that it's going to be a lifetime of learning. It doesn't stop, and we evolve with it. And in that course, our journey, our path evolves, our earth walk evolves, and we learn the sacredness in our efforts to serve the higher good of those who cross paths with us in the best ways that we can. So
mm-hmm.
I don't think a medicine person is a mystery. I think there is a mystery about them, because people don't understand.
Right. Right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
when you simplify it, I don't think it's that complicated. It doesn't have to be.
No, I feel we overcomplicate things as humans, and it's very simple, you know. And
yeah.
I feel that it's just a fascinating, I mean, like I said, my grandfather was half Native, and he never wanted to talk about that, and I found that fascinating. You know, I wanted to know about that part of myself. So, you know, that's been part of my path. And I used to live up in New York, and I used to do sweat lodges. Those were interesting. Those were very interesting.
Yeah. No, I can't do a sweat lodge as much as I would like to. Today I have COPD, but even growing up I had asthma, so I couldn't go into the high humidity
mm-hmm.
without having. And the only thing I could do was stick my feet in there, so underneath the canvas. So I found other ways of making my connections, you know.
Yeah.
Other than
there's other ways. There's other ways to do it. It's just,
mm-hmm.
you know, I want to talk about totem animals a little bit. And what is a totem animal, and how do you know, how did you get involved with that?
Well, Wolf got me started.
Yes.
And I didn't know that he was a totem animal at the time, but I knew that elephant was an animal that came to my great aunt and her side of the family. She used to talk about that a lot.
Okay.
She used to tell me that if I wasn't a good girl, I was going to get given back to the black sheep. So there was a split and that they rattled in the closet, and I didn't hear much about it, and I've got one picture.
Mm-hmm.
My great-grandfather, who had a Native woman in the picture with his family. You don't do a family portrait with a house servant. So, and he was the vice president of Nabisco. And back then, in his day, if you had Native blood, you put it in the closet. You didn't tell anybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think there was some, and I think she was related to him in some way, but I couldn't find out any more information. Nobody would tell me anything, and they're all gone now, so I can't access that information other than DNA.
Right. So you said Blackfeet. Mm-hmm. You said Black. Is that part? That's the tribe you feel you descended from. I didn't mean to interrupt you. It's just fascinating.
Yeah, the Blackfoot. Yeah.
Uh huh.
And I don't know much about them. I know more about the Lakota and other tribes, but as far as totem animals go, I had a Lakota girlfriend in junior high, middle school, and she and I went to separate high schools, so our ways parted, and then after high school, she came back into my life, and I think it was my mid-20s, late 20s, and we were talking about our spiritual beliefs, and I was telling her about mine, and she said, well, that's the same thing my people believe. Mm-hmm. And so she started teaching me, and I walked with her for, 5 or 6 years, I think. And she had a heart condition, and it eventually took her. But before she passed, she made me promise that I would continue to study the indigenous teachings. And I made the promise, and I've kept it my entire life. I don't see any reason not to, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm an eclectic person, so I draw from whatever I'm exposed to, and if it resonates, I grab it, and I teach that way. So I encourage people to be eclectic. I think wisdom is everywhere if we see every opportunity and every person we meet as an opportunity to learn something. We're going to gather information enough, and why should we say we can't use it? That doesn't make sense.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And it's funny you mentioned totems, because I believe wolf is one of my totem animals as well. And so is hawk. Yeah, hawk.
Wolf is the great teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to teach you how to teach others and the wisdom of that teaching and why you do it. And they're also pathfinders. So they will teach you the path that you need to take to go down. My wolf certainly did.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But when Mary came into my life, or back into my life, she's the one that got me to understand what a totem animal was, and she explained that we have 9.
Mm-hmm.
There are 7 for each of the 7 sacred directions. So that would be north, south, east, and west, the above, below, and middle world.
Mm-hmm.
And, or past, present, and future, however you want to look at it. And so that's 7. And then there are 2 others. One walks on our left side, our sacred feminine side, and one to our right side, the sacred masculine side. We all have masculine and feminine traits within us. Those energies are present in everybody, whether you're a man or a woman. And so they come from these different directions to teach us about them and how they apply to us specifically. When you're studying your foundations in a shamanic method or a nature-based method or tradition, those teachings start to customize themselves to the individual. Mm-hmm. And as your issues come up and your abilities come forward, everything starts to mesh together in a way that makes sense to you, and you polish your gifts and abilities and master them in ways that work for you. And so that's where the customization comes in. And it's why I'm such a proponent for the foundation. I think they're essential for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I agree because I'm familiar with the totem animals. I know that wolf is, and I know hawk is one of my predominant. I can't remember. It's been so long since. But when you said wolf, I'm like, yeah, I know wolf. I definitely know about the wolf. Yeah.
Wolf is one of the spirit keepers of the self. And some say that it's coyote, and some say that it's mouse. It depends on what tribe you're working with. And the animals attributed to the different directions tend to be because relative to the environment that tribe comes from. If they live close to the ocean, they're going to take oceanic creatures. And if they're in the Midwest, they're probably going to take all different kinds, you know. And mm-hmm. and so it just depends.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, your specific totem animals will come forward as you're studying the different elemental forces. They'll come mm-hmm. out of that to you. And you get to know them. Another way to know what your totems are is just to feel what you're drawn to. Hawk is one of mine, too. And when you have hawk medicine, one of the first things you learn is their telescopic vision.
Mm-hmm.
So they see the big picture, and they can see the finer details, which is something that not everybody can grasp.
Right.
But is going to perch itself high and take in the panorama, and then when something moves, it zooms in like a telescope with its vision and zooms in to see what's moving, and if it's prey, it's going to dive, and it's going to dive very quickly, and it's going to snatch it with its talons. Well, with that knowledge as to how a hawk operates, we can see the bigger picture. We can zoom in on what moves, theoretically, mm-hmm. With knowledge, right? And if mm-hmm. it's of interest to us, if it's something that can feed our mind, feed our soul, then we're going to grab it with our talons. We're going to take it and we're going to do something with it. We're going to digest it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how they're hunting and prey and what they prey mm-hmm. upon. Teaches us things like a hawk is going to catch a mouse for food. Mm-hmm. So you want to the mouse teachings because that's nourishment for you. What does mouse teach us? Mouse teaches us about details and quick escapes and different routes and ground level perspectives, and that sometimes you got to jump up to see something further away.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different horizon line. And so details are important. They're very important. And so mm-hmm. we learn to feed ourselves with the details of what we're praying on.
Interesting.
So, a lot to teach us. And that's just an example. Every animal that exists has something. Even the smallest little ant can teach mm-hmm. us a great
deal. Yeah. Yeah, when I lived up in New York, there was this park I used to go to, and it was native preserved land, but you know the town owned it, and it was beautiful. And I saw this when I would see an animal two or three times, I knew that was a message from my totems or whatever. And I saw this beautiful red-tailed hawk, and this thing was huge, and it let me get real close to it, and then it took off. And I looked it up and, you know, looking at, you know, the bigger picture. And I was naturally drawn to do that, look it up to see what that message that animal had for me. Have you done that? Like, what if you're seeing an animal in nature or something like that, do you pick up on that too? It may be a dumb question, but, I mean, that's the way I feel affinity with nature, you know.
Yeah, I don't ignore anything that happens in nature because I think we are constantly gifted with messages and insights, and if we pay attention to them, we gather lots of information, lots
mm-hmm.
of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then if we put it to use, our life goes a lot better. We learn
mm-hmm.
from that information that we gather. So absolutely, any animal. Now, if you just see an animal in the wild, that's one thing. That's
mm-hmm.
nature. But when that animal grabs your attention and goes out of its way, pardon me, out of its way to get your attention, acts out of the ordinary, then you know it's definitely bringing you a message of some kind. Like if,
mm-hmm.
say you're out sitting in the yard, butterfly or dragonfly come by, and they land on you, they're touching you. They're going out of their way to get close to you.
Mm-hmm.
Pardon me.
Yeah. Yeah, I find that interesting because sometimes an animal will, like I said, or an insect will just grab my attention like that hawk did that day. I remember that so well. That was so many years ago. But I remember this it just let me get so close to it. And it was beautiful. I'm like, wow. And that was the only red-tailed hawk in the area at the time. And just for it to do that, and, you know, I was alone, and I used to walk a lot in this park, and I would just kind of tune in with my own, you know, animals and my spirit guides and whatever at that time. And when I got that message, I was making a life decision whether to go back to college or something, and, you know, and it was like, yeah, go back for it or something like that. It's been so many years. But
mm-hmm.
I just remember that so many years ago.
Well,
you know.
I think beautiful example, and really, I'm surprised you got close.
Yeah, it did. I mean, it was, this park had these boardwalks, these beautiful wooden boardwalks, and it was on, you know, the poles, and it was standing on that post just looking at me, like, and
wow.
I came up to it, and it was just, like, right there for me, and there was nobody around except me. And it was beautiful. It was that's one thing I miss about living up. I'm in Florida now, so that's what I miss. Western New York had such beautiful, you know, scenery, you know, when it was warm. Only 3 months out of the year for me, but, you know, that's why I'm in Florida. So,
Minnesota.
Yeah.
Yeah. We get all four seasons, and I love it.
Every
animal encounter you have doesn't necessarily mean they're a totem. A totem animal is going to stay with you year after year after year.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes animals just come to you with information.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they're just a messenger. So they may come to you only once. So you need to learn to define what a totem is and what it isn't. You know the differences.
Right. Yeah, no, I remember doing my totem animals, and the wolf came up and the hawk came up quite a bit. So, to me, you know, they're my totems, but interesting.
Yeah, I'm just saying for somebody that is listening, if an animal comes at you, doesn't necessarily mean they're a totem, but if they repeatedly come to you, then more than likely they're going to be. And
mm-hmm.
if you're studying your foundations and they're coming up in visions or meditations or journey work that you're developing, then they're definitely your totems and they're your guides. So we have creature teachers and we have totems that are there that walk with us throughout.
Mm-hmm.
And the important, and they take turns coming forward too.
Right. Interesting. I love that. That's awesome. So let's get into the elemental forces. What are they? And you mentioned about working with the wind, but what the elementals would be in your definition?
Air, fire, water, and earth are the four elements in nature that produce the life forces. You know,
mm-hmm.
you think
mm-hmm.
about the human, how much water is in the human body?
A lot.
Part of it. We're all interconnecting with everything. We have fire in our bodies, the heat in our blood, and our bodies run at a certain temperature. we have air is the element of the mind, fire is the element of our life experiences, water is the element of healing and our relationships, and earth is the element that teaches us how to give from the heart and about sustenance and everything. So each element has its own perspective that it shares with us. And when we learn to fully understand those attributes and work from those perspectives, we end up with a 360-degree view of life, and we can see that bigger picture, and we can function within the greater whole on a much more attuned level than, say, the average person is just going about life on a mundane level, you know?
Yeah, yeah, I do. You know, sometimes it's good to just get back to the basics, right? I think
so.
Yeah, because we can overcomplicate things, like you said. So where did your training come from? Was it just life experience? Did you take a course? How did you gain your training?
I worked with my guides and the elemental forces, I would say, for my first 15 years or so. And then I began studying metaphysics and working with different teachings, the mystery schools and all that kind of thing, and read everything I could get my hands on. But back in those days, finding a teacher was very difficult. It's against the law to practice these things. And you could go to jail for it, so you didn't talk about it openly in public. Now, those laws were repealed in 1978. I graduated school in 1965. And I was studying on my own all that time. And then when Mary came back in, she started teaching me the indigenous ways of the Lakota. And when I was in college, I was taking world religion and all kinds of things there. But once I got into the Lakota teachings and I started meeting Native people, I began getting teachers from different kinds of tribes. I've studied Delaware, Hopi, Ojibwe, Mohawk, Cherokee. As I met people, this is the way my people do it. This is the way my people do it. Because they know that I am sincere and respecting. My blood sister is Cherokee and Mohawk. And so she adopted me into her way. And Mary adopted me into the Lakota. I have another girlfriend who is Delaware. And her mother taught me their ways. So, over time, I just gathered knowledge wherever I could get it. And then when I was, it was back in 99, I did a full vision quest that I spent 40 days on that quest. And I was told by guidance then that my destiny had basically come to call and that it was important for me to teach the wisdom of sacred foundations on a public level. And I was shown in vision seven teepees. And so today I teach a global client base and I work online and by phone as well as my radio show. I just don't think I'll ever stop. I'm almost 70. I think my passion is as strong today as it ever did. And every new client I get excited, and I'm going, oh, what are we going to learn together? So I just love what I do, and I love seeing the lights come on for other people and watching them be able to say, oh, I had an amazing experience with this, and this happened and that happened. And, oh, you're right, these things do happen. And they're so, unless you've been there yourself and had these types of experiences, it's hard to even comprehend how amazing they are. Mm-hmm. But when you have a spiritual experience, when you're learning when the teachings I give, you're having one right after another and another and another and another, just with air. And then you go into fire and you have more and more and more and more air. And your guides are coming to you and you're seeing them, you're meeting them, you're interacting with them. They're teaching you. It becomes invigorating and your passion grows and the excitement is there and it's just awesome and amazing. Every person I work with is so unique with what they experience that I love it. I just love it.
Wow. Yeah. I can understand that. I can understand that, definitely. You know, we teach in different ways, but we're all teachers, and I think we teach what we need to learn, too, I think, sometimes.
Well, I don't see how you can't learn when you're teaching,
right.
Because somebody has an experience like that. If you've never had it, you've had something similar, maybe, or that could compare in some way to open you to accept what they're telling you. You're learning about how things happen for other people. And what it does is it opens your mind to say there are infinite ways for Creator to come into our lives and manifest something and co-create with us. Mm-hmm. And you lose the tunnel vision. And I think that's so important because if we don't have those teachings and we have the tunnel vision, we're going to say it can only happen this way. That's the only way I can conceive of that being possible.
Right.
So it's only going to happen that way, and it's only going to happen right here where I'm watching. Because I know that's where it has to be. And then when you're paying attention over here at this, it's happening somewhere else. And you're missing it. You're missing the birth. You're missing the growth and the manifestation process because you're so fixated.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you miss the opportunity to see things. So if you don't attach to the how it's going to come about and you stay open, then you're watching everything. And your awareness is sharper and your mind opens up more. And you can just embrace so much more. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. It is. It is. It really is. I mean, this path that I've been on, too, I mean, it's been phenomenal. I could never, like you, I could never imagine my life being the way it is if I didn't go on this path. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and don't you think, Amy, when you're working with somebody mm-hmm. and you're bringing information to them, don't you think, feel that it educates you at the same time?
Yes, it does, yeah. And also sometimes, you know, you go through, like you said, a similar experience. I mean, they're going through it, but in a different way, and you're amazed mm-hmm. because you may see something from a different perspective.
Yeah, it teaches you perspective. And
yeah.
You know, it can happen that way too. Cool.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's amazing. It's my question to you is, what is the benefits of working with a spiritual teacher? If someone listening to the show tonight is someone, you know, maybe they're drawn to a medicine woman and a shamanic path, what's the benefits of working with someone like yourself or myself?
Working with a coach or teacher actually expedites and assists in the deeper understanding of concepts and practices through the alignment with that individual's personal goals. So a major benefit is that it helps considerably with avoiding the mistakes that happen in the trial and error practices of the independent student. And those practices can take years to figure out. So in this manner, they gain the benefit of learning the various practices, the importance of nuances, of interpretation with guidance, messages, signs, along with personal as well as universal symbology. That's just a fraction of it, you know. And they can also help with the intricacies of initiatory phases of somebody's development, of the assimilation practices, the understanding that goes with that, how to prepare for an initiation into something, because there are rituals and ceremonies. And they talk about them in books, but they leave out the finer details. And you have to know what components go into a ritual in order to make sure it's complete. Otherwise, you're working with incomplete information, and different things happen or not happen at all.
Right.
So a coach or a teacher is going to sit there with you and say, this is how it's done, and why it's done this way, and why you do it this way. And you learn protection and shielding techniques and all kinds of things that the books are going to maybe talk about on a superficial basis, but they're not going to take you into the detail that a teacher can.
Yeah, and I feel that assistance is greatly needed sometimes, especially when you're working with your own abilities. Maybe you have a student that's, you know, opening up. How do you guide them with their abilities?
Well, you have to understand what they're opening up to, and you have to help them through their fears. Sometimes there's obstacles and blockages that they can't get through to get to that ability even and get it fully functional. So you know the techniques that are tried and true for you or different, you know, like I've got different exercises I can give someone. If this one doesn't work, this one will. And so I go with a standard because most people respond to that. But if they don't, then we'll take a different approach. And that's something a teacher, a good teacher, is going to do for you. If you've got a teacher that is saying, sit at my feet and follow me and you need me and la-di-da-di-da.
Right.
Somebody that's looking from ego and you better run for the hills, you know. A good teacher isn't going to try to trap you into their world and what your path should be. They're going to help you discover it for yourself.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. We're just guides. You know, we're to help guide you on your path, not to take over your path. Yeah.
And you're going to have teachers. Of them.
Right.
Life's full of them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not one person. And there's a lot of people out there that are feeding their ego, trying to say, I'm the one. I know it all. Come with me. Yeah, I'm a Pied Piper here. And they're very charismatic.
Mm-hmm.
Very charismatic. And they take you down a path of shadows and full of hard knocks with the lessons they teach, you know. So you have to be careful who you choose to go with. But
right.
You want somebody who knows what they're doing.
Exactly. And not be offended when your relationship ends. Because, you know, like you said, there might be a person that needs a teacher on their path that the student needs to go to. So, yeah.
Yeah, and then you know, the teacher needs to recommend somebody they know or steer them in a direction and recognize when they've ceased to teach, too. I have to know when I can't give the answer. And I have to say, this is what you need. You need somebody that can. Like, I'm not a Reiki master, and I don't do physical healing. I do spiritual healing, and I work energetically, but it isn't Reiki. And so if somebody is going in that direction, I can't give them those lessons. I have to say, well, I know a Reiki master here or here or here. If they can't help you, maybe they know someone that can, but I will introduce you to them, get you started on that. I can't control where that's going to take you, but I can give you some help and guidance to get there. And then it's up to the individual to take it from there. That kind of teacher. So that's all we can teach.
Right. Yeah. There's no ego involved, you know, for a good teacher, at least in my opinion. It has to come from the heart, too. You know, I've met a lot of people like that, you know, that come from, like you said, ego, which infuriates me because it's like, we're all on a path, a different path. Sometimes we walk together and sometimes we walk off the path. So.
Yeah. And, you know, I call them shadow teachers.
I like that. Yeah.
And I have come, I don't like them personally, but I have come to respect them because I know that I've run into my share of them myself in life, and
I
came to appreciate what I learned from them as far as you don't do it this way, you don't talk it like that, you don't act like that, you don't treat other people that way, and I know why, because I know the hurt that comes with it when you do. I know what it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
So they gifted me by teaching me what not to do.
Right.
And there are many people out in the world that learn that way. So they're going to need a shadow teacher, and evidently I needed to learn that way. That's usually the lessons I experience that come to us. And if we're caught up in our own egos, we're going to be attracted to somebody that has a big one.
Yeah, that's true. I like that. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Get you in trouble.
Yep. Now, while we have some time, I want you to, what is your book, A Medicine Woman Speaks About?
It's an overview of spiritual principles as seen through different traditions and different cultures.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to offer a conversational approach with insight into the common threads, the universal teachings of the sacred mysteries that we all seek to understand. So I took a very practical approach to understanding what shamanism and other nature-based traditions entail. And there's insight that points out how this takes nothing away from any religious beliefs that someone might hold. There's a blending of the feminine and masculine ways because those were things that were taught to me. And I share my personal insights into what we all have the capability and the right, the birthright to explore within ourselves, as well as some of the major cautions that people should be aware of because there are plenty out there.
Mm-hmm.
You don't go into it blindly, you know?
Yeah, no, you don't. No. It's better to be forewarned and forearmed, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It's an interesting path, the spiritual path that we've chosen, huh?
Oh,
I think so. Good Lord.
Fascinates me. I'm always constantly watching and going, ooh, cool, you know. Give me another. It is so much a part of my life that I walk consciously aware of it every day, you know, and
mm-hmm.
I think when we learn to work through, make that connection with our inner spirit, because that's our authentic true self, you know, it animates our body. When the spirit leaves our body, we're immobile. We're done.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, it's gone on. And the body dies. It can't function without that spirit, without that life force inside. So when you start looking at life from that perspective, everything changes. And it becomes an amazing adventure, an amazing experience. And every day holds mysteries that just keep unfolding. It's beautiful.
Yeah. It is. And, you know, we've talked about, you know, I've been on your show with the near-death experience, you know, when we had the roundtable. We talked about that. I think when you have that kind of life-altering experience, you do look at your path differently. You look at it from a spiritual point of view or a spirit view instead of the physical view, I think, in my opinion.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I've been at death door a few times. No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
When I was young and years later as I grew older and when I got hit now with this pneumococcal pneumonia that triggered the COPD and then they put me on medications that gave me diabetes temporarily and I was in ICU for 9 days and I almost didn't make it home. Mm-hmm. Almost didn't make it home. And it was, I'm not afraid of death. That doesn't scare me. But I knew I had more work to do and I had to get well and I couldn't make that exit point at that time. But it certainly wakes you up and makes you appreciative of every single day you have.
Yes, it does. It does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get up with gratitude every morning. Every single morning I wake up and I go, well, I got another day to do stuff, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
a day of work and labor is a day where I can do things. I look out at the land, the landscape, and it holds me in awe. I just see beauty everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because when we look through the eyes of our spirit, we see the beauty of life.
Mm-hmm.
And it changes. It changes.
It does, and I feel like if I didn't have those two near-death experiences, I wouldn't be looking, seeing that hawk in that park and understanding it was a message for me.
Yeah, I believe.
I wouldn't pay attention. So in our final question to wrap up the show, what prompted you to develop Spirit Lodge and Two Moons Talking?
Well, the study center was founded back in 2000 as a learning and resource center, and that was a concept guided by spirit. So our focus is as the bridge, the gap into spiritual growth and enlightenment with the seeker in mind. So it affords those who want to walk by themselves and do independent study. It affords them the opportunity to do that. They certainly can. If they want coaching, then those sources are available to them as well. We started in 2000 with about 5 pages, and today we have over 900 pages of resource material that's available to the public to peruse, and that's all free. The only thing we charge for are the seminars and the coaching services. Otherwise, everything there is free, and it's open to the public. And that was Spirit telling me what was needed. Then social media took over the forum website, and our forum discussion to our group ended up moving over to Facebook, where Two Moons Talking was born. And Two Moons Talking was our original radio show that I worked with my daughter, River. And when she left, she wanted to get off radio. And so we named the Facebook group after the radio show at that time. And now it's just Two Moons Talking and Lessons in the Spirit. Mm. But that's free to the public, too. So they can go there. Find inspiration, they can post questions, they can make comments, share their experiences, and we've got a community of, we're heading toward 3,000 people mm-hmm. that partake in that group, so there's always somebody to give you an answer, you know.
Yeah, I went on the website, it's quite extensive, definitely.
And you've a variety of people that can answer questions. You've got a variety of teachers right there at your fingertips.
That's great.
So it's a good thing,
yeah. Yeah. That's great. Yes, definitely. Well, Cinnamon, we are coming to a close already. Wow, I don't know where the time went. This was a fun interview. I learned a lot, actually, myself. So, Yeah, where can people find you? Name your website again and where people can contact you if they want assistance with on the shamanic way of life.
Okay. The website is Spirit Lodge, all one word, .online. They can find me over on Facebook at Two Moon Talking, Lessons in the Spirit Lodge, and you can Google me all over the internet. So.
you're around.
On Facebook, I'm Debbie C.M. Schwartz, for those looking for me over on Facebook, because they won't let me use my spirit name over there. I took it legally. I wasn't going to give them all the paperwork, and they wanted it, and I wasn't going to give it to them. None of this why I did that. So, Debbie C.M. Schwartz, and Debbie with a Y. If you go to someone's talking, you'll see me there.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on tonight. Thank you so much. I appreciate you coming on. This was fun.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's an honor. I enjoyed it.
Me too. And my name's Amy Toy, and this is for Angel Answers with Amy Toy. Join us next week for another exciting guest, and have a great night.